UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
You're listening to The V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, we're going to get to Chris Mack here in a bit. It is a guy who's obviously very anti-Chris Mack, and just to show that I'm not afraid to answer those discussions. Mack hasn't made a good in-game adjustment that's worked in 2 years. Well, because you're not in the huddle. I mean, how do you know what the hell he's doing? Because what you want is you want some sort of a spectacular adjustment. You want what I call grandstanding play. And there are guys that do that. There are guys that, you know, will go, okay, here we go, and here comes the full court press, and now we've turned him over five times, we won. Wow, what a genius this guy is. But they make more subtle adjustments because that's the style that the pack line plays. As I've said this before, you don't have to like it, but the pack line is what I call the tilting the roulette wheel school of coaching. If you went into a casino and the roulette wheel had, instead of half the numbers were red and half were black, they had 70% of the numbers were red and 30% were black, what would you bet? I would bet red, and I would expect that I would win 7 out of 10 times. And over the course of the gambling session, I'd probably make money. There'd be some times I wouldn't, because even with 30% odds, you know, the black number might come in 3-4 times in a row, and then you're going to get all pissed off. But the fact of the matter is, the premise is, how do I get it so that the numbers are 70% in my favor? What the pack line is predicated on is they think that they've set up the game with the roulette wheel is 70% in their favor. You're not going to get easy shots. You're not going to get layups. You're not going to score in transition. And offensively, we're going to be good. We're going to shoot 45, 50%. You're going to shoot 40%. We're going to be good on the backboards because we're not going to be cheating out. We're going to rebound. We're going to be fine. So that's the premise. Now, you could say, okay, what happens when they beat us a little bit? Well, they made adjustments when guys come off the screen, and that's what he was mad at. I'll give you a perfect example, okay? If they started doing this, I'd be surprised as a fan most of you would recognize it. But maybe you would, because like I said, I've never talked down to fans, but I'm just telling you, this is not the kind of thing that I'm guessing Mr. Critic here would like. When they kept running guys off the baseline screen, that baseline action where they come off the screen and they curl, okay, if you get beat on that once or twice, now it's great. The idea is you're supposed to, most teams at first will chase him around the screen, try and get through the screen quick enough so that even if he catches it, he's not free, essentially. He's going to come off the screen, catch it, and you're going to be back in position. He can't get to the basket. They were having a hell of a time doing that for whatever reason. Well, then you know what you do? You cheat the screen. And so as he comes off that screen, instead of chasing him, you go around the screen. You come to the top side of the screen. What does that leave something open? Yes, it does, which is why teams play it. But what does it leave open? It leaves him open on a fade to the corner. What has Florida State's weakness been? They've not been a great shooting team. So then that would be an adjustment you make. But that's basically a lot of times what a player's got to make. You can't tell from the bench whether, if you tell a guy he's got to go over the top and he says, I'm right on him. I haven't gotten screened. I can get around the top. I can cover him. Okay. You're taking the ability to play away from the player. But they didn't do a good job of making that adjustment. That's an adjustment that they would make. I've seen them make that adjustment in the past. I've seen them adjust how they play the ball screen. They switch 1 through 4. They hedge hard and recover on the 5. Okay? When Rick was here and when David was here, a lot of times they switched with the 5. They'd let the 5 play Okay, so this is an adjustment for these guys. How you play that can adjust a little bit. They have adjusted how they've played the ball screen. Now, when you're watching, you're saying that they're still playing man-to-man on this screen. They're still scoring off that baseline cut. But there are adjustments that are made. He does not have adjustments where he goes, all right, let's go to a 1-3-1, and let's go to a 2-3. And so if that's what you want to see, okay, well, you're probably not going to see that very much. But he's making adjustments. So, you know, it's make a freaking in-game adjustment, please. But what? You got to give me specifics. That doesn't tell me anything. It's a Fran getting mad. Damn it, they're scoring on us. Do something. Or what do you want them to do? What the adjustments are, how you know, that's the biggest thing. When I first got into coaching, it was one of the best advice I ever got. I know I quote my brother, I quote my family. I quote Nick, I quote my father, I quote my mother, I quote Jamie. When it's relevant, I quote my brother Jim. We played a game once. We played a team. We wanted to play fast. They wanted to play slow. I said, it's driving me nuts. I tried everything I had. We played a 1-3-1. We played a 2-2-1. We denied the ball in bounds. We let the ball in bounds. We tried to trap. He said, that's your problem. I said, what do you mean? He said, that's not going to make them change. What you've got to do is take the play a couple and then see the one that you think, even though they've scored on it, did you feel was the best? And make an adjustment. The key is not to keep throwing the kitchen sink at them. The key is to adjust what you're running. The adjustments that go on when you play the pack line are not ones that Joe Jablonski in the stands is going to see. Because to him, they're still playing man-to-man. What are they doing? But he's making adjustments. So unless you tell me why in that situation didn't he do X, Y, or Z, you know, that's the thought of fans right now. They never make in-game adjustments. You know why? Because the premise is you're a guy that when he goes in that casino and they've got the roulette wheel set up to 70 numbers red and 30 numbers black, and black comes in three times in a row, you want him to change something. And what he's saying is, if I do, okay, but we're not going to have as good a chance to succeed because the way it's set up is I've got 70% of the numbers going my way. That's what they're committed to. That's what they teach. So, I mean, to make that analogy, I would say, okay, well, he's betting, you know, 17 red. Now he's going to bet 19 red. Fine, but he's going to keep betting red. And until you see him bet black, you're going to say, well, he's not making an adjustment. He is making adjustments. I mean, you know, you claim about lineups, he's changed the lineup. Now, if you want to say, well, I don't like the change, fine. But what I'm telling you is he's not one of the guys who runs and hides under the bed. You ask him a question, he answers it. Why'd you change the starting lineup? People want to say, oh, I see, he's mad at Ryan. He knows Ryan can't play. No, I'm sure there may be some element to the concern about Ryan's defense, but what he did it for is to get – it's like a hockey coach. Hockey coaches manage their players in lines. It doesn't necessarily mean these three guys are the three best players, but their skill set complements each other. And then the next line, their skill set complements each other. When he plays Darius and Fresh, who I thought was the best guard combination of Kentucky, he's got Darius now able to play off the ball a little bit. That helps him. They need him to score a little bit. He doesn't think to score when he's playing the point because he's so concerned about being a point guard because everybody's talking about, come on, Darius, you got to run the team. You got to get your teammates involved. Now he can be a little freer and play off the ball. Plus, he's a driving threat, and Fresh is a half a driving threat. Given his opportunity, he'll drive. He's not super quick, but he'll drive a little bit, okay? So they can drive. Then if he brings David in, David is able to drive as well, and he's got good size to do it. And those of you who are pissing and moaning about Ryan's shooting, I mean, defense, I get it, but I'm just telling you, I think they think, and I'm not sure I disagree, they need his shooting. He is the most consistent three-point shooter they've got out of the guards. You can say, most consistent, he can't throw in the ocean right now. Yes, he's in a horrible slump. There's no debate about that. But, again, if you take a sample of 1,000 shots or a sample of 20 shots, over the 1,000 shots, he's the best shooter they've got. Over the last 20, Strugglesville. But he's made more of those 1,000 shots than any other guard. If you're a gambler, you're a coach, you say, I got to go with numbers. The numbers say this guy's the best shooter. They got to find a way to get his minutes. And the third thing Chris said is, okay, well, David is only going to play the one. He's a freshman. They're not going to ask him to play two different positions. So if they play him at the one and they start Darius at the one, Fresh can only play the one basically also. So that means that makes David the third point guard, and he never gets in. And they want to get him on the floor. So you said you wanted him to play. He's agreeing with you. He's saying, here's a way for me to play him. So don't tell me he's not making adjustments. Of course he is. You're just pissed off they lost to Kentucky. And now they lost the second game. And so it's just killing you because Ted at the water cooler is giving you crap. They tied Kentucky. And the fact of the matter is they were number one at one point in the country. And it's his second year. He's a year and a half into a complete overhaul of a program that was in shambles. If you think that is somehow cause for alarm, Knock yourself out. I'm just telling you. I'm almost mad. I'm giving a lot of credence to the Earth is flat, and it's ridiculous. It just seems ridiculous just because some guy said it who evidently has a lot of money, and a writer wrote it, and now all of a sudden, yes, is there some element of the fan base? Of course there are. They lost to Kentucky. The fans are pissed. You know, that's what it comes down to. That's absolutely what it comes down to. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at it objectively, and I've told you that, if you talk to people who know the game, they will tell you this has been a really, really good job he's done. And this potentially will still has a chance to be a very, very good team. You know what's a credible take? Here's a credible take from a listener. And I love when people make observations that I think have meat on the bone. Rick Pitino would go through stretches like this too. There's no question he would. But they always said, you know what? We've seen years where by the end they're really good. You know, remember when the year they went to the Final Four and Notre Dame beat them by like 75 in South Bend, and then they came back and went nuts and ran the table basically. So Mac doesn't have that on his resume here yet. But all I can tell you is they hung Dean Smith in effigy at North Carolina his second year. They were so pissed off. And I think he did fairly well there. Maybe you don't agree. So I just don't put a lot of credence in it. I think sports makes you stupid sometimes, and that's unfortunate. We're waiting on Chris. Is Darius still talking? All right, so in a minute we'll go out there. Before we do that, let me get some business taken care of here. Our friends at DraftKings, playoffs are finally here in the NFL. There's only a few more games left before the champ is crowned. Don't be caught saying wait till next year like 24 other teams. Get in on the action this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. There's so much going on this weekend. They have great promotions running every day, from odds boosts to free bets. DraftKings, you got to go to the website to see all the options they've got. They got a lot of stuff, a lot of funky stuff going on. DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app. You can deposit and withdraw funds at your convenience. It's no wonder that DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use our code WHBE. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's the code WHBE, and get your sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9 with it. All right, Chris is getting close, and we'll see what he's got to say. And we'll go forward for it. By the way, one last thing. Again, take it for what it's worth. It doesn't prove anything. This, though, well, that's fine. You don't understand. We're Louisville. Of course I'm pissed off. We are. You just sound silly. I mean, I'm sorry. It doesn't prove that there's some more of a commitment to win here, or you're more serious about it than maybe okay for your programs. It doesn't prove anything. It just proves that you can get pissed off when they lose. And that's fine. It's your business. But it doesn't prove anything. I mean, if that's the case, well, we expect Final Fours here. Well, okay, well, then you can expect to be disappointed 85% of the time, because 85% of the time you ain't going. Then I don't care where you're at. That's the reality. So as fans were getting nervous, I understand they looked invincible at the beginning. Now they don't look so – they look vincible. I get it. But that's part of playing. That's part of coaching. It's part of the process. So – the thought that somehow the honeymoon is over, or that they're clamoring for other coaches, it's just, all right, dude, whatever. Mac's seat is getting warm. Yeah, that's a logical approach. A year and a month and a half into his tenure. You're right. That shows your commitment to winning. It shows you no idea about running a program. I'm sorry. Can I tell you? That's the reality. So knock yourself out. Here's Chris.
It's so early. Both teams are a little bit different. We have two players now that are, playing minutes that weren't even healthy at the time. So I thought we played well, especially for an opener and the first time being on the road.
Looking at how you'd like this team to develop by the end of the season, season. Do you consider these last 2 weeks to be a regression of some sort?
We haven't played very well, at least on the game in the game on Saturday. But, you know, I look at our game, you know, two Saturdays ago, and had we made free throws and had we, you know, gotten a defensive rebound after we made a miss the first shot in overtime with a three-point lead twice, then the outcome's a little different. I thought Florida State, with their length, especially in the second half, bothered our team. It's been no secret that, you know, when teams pressure us and get after us, that we haven't played as well. You know, we've taken a step forward from a year ago, to be honest, but that's something that our team continually has to get better at. And, you know, days like Saturday just reinforce that.
You want to see under your guards, you were critical of Saturday, what going forward, what do you want to see under your guards?
Just consistency, but I think you're asking me for production. You know, you're asking me, like, you know, what type of statistics or, you know, what are you looking for? Like, I would tell you, you have to be a learner on the floor. You have to learn. Didn't try to reference you there. But they went runner action, and we trailed it. I said this after the game, you know, like a tail on the dog four times, five times. And, you know, you got to be able to learn in the moment. And, you know, we get confused one time. Our freshman switches out. We never switch out. Left Malik on a guard, and he's trying to get back to his man. They bang a three. You know, we trailed on that runner action two or three times. They got right in the lane, shot over the top of us. You know, and if you're a 6'1 guard, your size ain't changing. You got to be able to figure out a different way and force that cutter to go sideline. So, again, being able to learn on the fly, you know, make better decisions. There's a lot that those guys, and not just our guards, but other guys have to do better.
What are ways they correct that moving forward?
Well, you know, it's tough when you're 6'1", when you're 6'2", you know, when you got 6'6" on you and you have long arms. I mean, like, I don't know, you know, what you want me to tell you. I mean, it's just tough. But at the same time, we've got to be better. We've got to be tougher. We've got to be stronger with the decisions that we make. You know, in the first half, we had five turnovers. You know, I don't believe that Florida State turned up their pressure anymore in the second half. I thought it was a cumulative effect of, you know, our inability to get stops. You know, our inability in the first half to miss shots around the basket. You know, were, I think, factors in us wearing down mentally. And that's a problem that this team needs to correct. It's between the ears. You know, nothing's changing with their size, and they have to understand that. Things have to change between their ears and their chest cavity. And I've got to do a better job of figuring that out in practice and preparing them for those moments and that grind and being able to stay the same all the way throughout. I tell you this, that, you know, I'm not down on our team. Our team practices hard every single day. You know, I would be lying if I came in here and said, you know, our team doesn't practice very hard. We get what we deserve. That's not true. Our team competes. We just have to be better, and we have to be more resilient when we're not better. And that was the disappointing thing on Saturday. You know, I don't see, in my opinion, I don't see a trend. How we played against Kentucky was very different from how we played against Florida State. We were down 12 or 14 points on the road, and we had the grit and the toughness to come back, and we weren't reliant on Jordan. On Saturday, Jordan has maybe his best game of the year, and other guys didn't do what they needed to do. We have to be able to, you know, like I said, be more resilient when things aren't going our way. And that's been an issue for 2 years, and it needs to get corrected. And if this team wants to have a better outcome than last year's team, they'll correct it. I don't know if that experience is what's lacking or what's stopping us. I mean, if you look at Stephen Enoch's experience, he didn't play a whole lot at UConn. He wasn't a factor. He wasn't on the floor end of games. You know, Dwayne Sutton, terrific player. I mean, he's a warrior. He was at UNC Asheville. No disrespect to that program. These are different games that he's playing in. You know, Ryan didn't play a whole lot in his first 3 years. You know, so that experience, it's one thing when you see it on the roster and you say, oh, fifth-year senior. But, like, You know, our guys have to be able to lead this team. You know, not play on the coattails of past teams. You know, they're on Louisville's team. They're going to go out being remembered as Team 106. And so we have to be able to be better. I have to be better. And I believe we're going to be better.
I don't know how much attention you pay to social media, but the reaction to Saturday's game was pretty harsh. A lot of it pointed at you specifically.
No problem.
Is there a different kind of expectation here than at Xavier?
Absolutely. No. That would be disrespectful of the place that I was at. You know, Xavier fans are as passionate as anybody in the country, let me tell you that. But it's not as big of a fan base. Just isn't. You know, it's a smaller school. You lived in Cincinnati, Tim. You know, it's 4,000 students versus, what do we have, 17, 18,000 here? There we go. Just jumped by 4,000. so, you know, it's just it's a bigger fan base. You know, one of the reasons I came here was the tradition, you know, the expectation. So that stuff doesn't bother me. What bothers me is getting better between the lines.
Do you find that fans here are less patient?
I don't know. Fans. Fans are less patient everywhere.
You mentioned the size, and obviously you need to get find answers for this year, or they need to find answers this year. But is a long-term goal kind of like finding more guys like taller guards like DJ?
Not necessarily. You know, I think, you know, you look at Auburn a year ago, Jared Harper didn't have a problem dealing with size in the SEC. So we just have to be able to make better decisions. You know, I love my guys, and that's why I'm critical of them, because I feel like, you know, within them they have the ability to get the job done. And so, you know, it's my job to hold them to that.
Sam had his best game of the year against Miami earlier this year. His lower production lately, has he kind of hit a wall, or is it the tougher competition, or?
A little bit of everything. You know, Sam's got to play better defense. I got to get him on the floor a little bit more if other guys aren't getting the job done. But, you know, it really starts with his defense, you know, and that hasn't been easy for him all year. Even if you go back to the Miami game, as well as he played offensively, you know, he was lacking in some areas. So, you know, I've got to allow him to play through it, but at the same time, he's got to get better in that area.
How is Miami different from the first game? And then you did a fairly good job. If I remember, recall, Mike's got some buckets late.
Yep.
But he had 18 and a few of them late.
Well, they had won before they lost to Duke the other day, five games in a row. You know, they go to Illinois and have them down, you know, almost 30 points. And so they're a team that, you know, really gives their playmakers a lot of freedom. You know, their guards a lot of freedom, not just Chris Likes, who can, you know, instantly, you know, control a game, but also a guy like McGusty, who tries to play downhill. They isolate him all the time. Vasilovich, who might be the best three-point shooter in our league, was a one-man terror at Illinois. You know, they're losing to Clemson by double digits in the second half and, you know, make shots down the stretch. So, you know, I just think that, you know, we understand who Miami is and how hot they can get and how often, you know, those guys are trying to free one another up, and they play with a lot of freedom. So we got to do the job. We always want to get the ball into Steve. You know, I think as a senior, he's played his best basketball of his career, and I don't think it's close. You know, Steve has to do a better job when he gets smaller guys on him that don't settle behind. Of being a stable target. You know, he tends to show a different hand, and, you know, at one point I'll ask for it here and then there, and our guards are dealing or our wings are dealing with pressure. And so, you know, the few times that we found him, we just sort of lobbed it up and allowed him to lose post space. But yet he was still able to gather and get to the rim. But Steve's always going to be and needs to be a focus of ours. He needs to be a primary scorer for us and play inside-out basketball when he's in the game.
How much is the full-court press becoming involved for part of your guys' game plan and then as well as responding to it?
You know, I don't think our turnovers, for the most part this year, haven't been at, you know, versus full-court pressure. I think our guys have done a terrific job of handling press. Three or four turnovers against Florida State the other day was simply after we got the defensive rebound and pushed the ball up and made an errant pass. It didn't have anything to do with being trapped or a guy running through a passing lane, just, you know, unforced errors that we can't afford to have happen. But if you're asking me how much we'll press, not a whole lot.
How much do you learn watching film of a game you've already coached?
I learn a lot. You know, I think it's always easy to sort of detach yourself and the emotion of the game when you're watching on film. You know, so I think you can, you know, learn a lot so that the next time you're in maybe a similar situation, maybe you see it differently and respond to it differently.
Things that you can see on video that standing at court level you can't see?
I think so. I mean, you only have, you know, two eyes. You can only focus on one area. I mean, generally you know what you're trying to do on the offensive end, given a play and the timing of it and where you need the ball and who needs to get open. But, you know, when the shot goes up, for instance, is everybody on your team that's supposed to, given maximum effort to go offensive rebound? You know, those type of things are very difficult to see in the moment, so you sort of delegate that to personnel on your staff and address them at timeouts as needed.
After a game, how long afterwards do you watch the film, and how many times do you watch it?
It just depends on the game. It also depends on, you know, the turnaround that we have until the next game. So I watched Florida State twice. You know, I watched Kentucky more than that. So, you know, but same time after Kentucky, we had a week off, and after Florida State, you know, we're playing again on, you know, Tuesday.
Malik has struggled sometimes in these past couple games to finish at the rim. I don't know if it's a timing issue or being stronger with the ball, but as good as Steve has been, how much do you need Malik to?
A lot. You know, he's got to be better around the basket. It's never been a strength of his. And as I told him, you know, we don't expect him to be Enoch and jump over buildings and dunk on people. But as smart as he is on the defensive end, he needs to transfer that to the offensive end. Whether that's a shot fake, a step through, using the rim as a protector from a shot blocker. But absolutely. And he needs to own that in practice so that it becomes more consistent in games.
Jordan, you're a lot of the ire following the Kentucky loss. What does it say about his character and how he responded?
A lot. He still needs to do little things. We need more from Jordan. And when I say more from Jordan, you know, don't jump on it like he needs to score 35 or 40. He needs to do his job on the defensive end. It's not to say he didn't, but we need more.
Anything else? Anyone? Thanks.
There's a copy somewhere on the wall, I think. Chris Mack's press conference is brought to you by. Do you have it there? If it's not, I can kind of wing it. I think it's Class Act Federal Credit Union, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? You don't have it? Well, let's give Class Act a little love. Pretty sure it's brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. Like straight A's for your money, they present the Chris Mack press conference. I'm going to have Tim on next hour, and it's not going to be a showdown at the OK Corral, but this is why maybe I'm doing what I claim others do. I hope not. But I'm trying to be as level-headed as I can. What I claim others do is they take an opinion, then they go back and cherry-pick stats or data to try and support it. I'm trying not to do that. I'm simply looking at the whole thing and and addressing specific points. The point that somehow there's this outcry about Chris and the honeymoon's over, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that from national people who analyze the game, nor have I seen it basically from large members of the fan base. Is there some elements of it? Sure. Anytime you lose, my God, I'll go and find, you know, I don't care where you're coaching. I told you that the great story of the 150-person attended Division III game in New York with a team lost and I'm in the hallway and the guy's just shredding the coach. he just shredding him. But I do know this, having been on both sides of the fence as a coach and a media guy, if there is a topic that is the hot topic of the day, whether the guy wants to answer it or not, every media guy will ask the same question 10 different ways. If, for example, the thought was that Produce is going to leave and go work in New York and he has no comment, I'll ask Produce, are you going to take a job in New York? And his answer is the typical coach's, no, I have a job. I'm very happy in this job. I'm very pleased here. And then the next guy would ask, well, I know you're happy here, but is there any way that you would go to New York? And then he says, no, I'm here to do this job. That's what I'm focused on. And the third guy says, New York's a great city, though, and is there any way that, okay? Tim asked about social media. There wasn't one other person in the room who so much as hinted at that. If that's really something that you perceive here. Now, I know what the argument will be. Oh, well, you media people are just fawners here. And I have said, in all fairness, They treat the coaches here more gently than most other places I've lived. The media has done that. They have. But I also am going to say it's no great – I've said this before. Never confuse negativity with sophistication. Never confuse, oh, look, I watch how much I know about the game because I'm going to say something negative about – no, it doesn't. It just means you're negative. No, nobody's perfect. You can always find something negative to say. Nobody – not one other person even remotely went down that rabbit hole. It's because it's not there. It's just not. I'm sorry. There's no meat on the bone there. Are there some people who wanted somebody else to get the job? I'm sure there hasn't been a job hiring in the history of the world where every single fan, board member, God himself has stepped forward and said, let this man coach. No. Okay? That's the reality. So there's no different here. Are people mad that they lost? Of course they are. All fans are always mad when they lose. But that this thought that there's some sort of meat on the bone here, a year and a quarter? Sorry, I have to laugh. It's ridiculous. It's just preposterous. It is. And I would even say, even if it's preposterous, if there was some credibility in terms of people saying it, like, well, it is ridiculous. But if all of a sudden there was about, thousands and thousands of people around the city screaming that 2 and 2 equals 5, yeah, you'd have to acknowledge that, even though most rational people would know 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, equals 4, but okay. But it's just not there. And that's his first question. There was some social media. You were the social media. If you go into chat rooms after a loss and you're going to use that as what fodder did you see this? Vital did the game. He had nothing negative to say about it. And believe me, he's not afraid to take a negative pop. You've seen that in his tweets of late. Wischusen was the play-by-play guy. He didn't have nothing to say about it. We had Billis on last week, Greenberg on. We've talked to Biancardi. We've talked to Rath. Where is this coming from? Where do you think it's coming from? Oh, I don't care about the national media. Okay, well, you don't have to care about it, but find me some credible person, a significant number. Could you find one Yahoo running a website in his mother's basement somewhere to say something? Sure you can, but I'm talking about guys that actually coached and played, and I don't see that, and I don't see it from the overwhelming number of the fans. I mean, it was a very odd question, but, I'll ask Tim about it. He'll be with us next hour. So, I'm very surprised. Tim, who I've always defended because he has not been afraid to take the hard question, but he's making a mountain out of a molehill here. And the small segment of fans that maybe feel that way, maybe they feel like they've got their standard bearer, that's great, but I'm sorry to inform you, 2 and 2 still equals 4. So I don't know what else to say about that. What else do we do in here? Oh, I know I have something else to do. But you know what? We'll take a break and we'll come back and do it on the other side. Thanks for being with us. It's a Monday, and the big-headed producer is not in today. He's under the weather. I wonder how that term came about, by the way. Why, if you're ill, are you under the weather?
Because, that old saying where if you go out in the cold, you're going to catch a cold, you're going to catch your death, from, raining.
I love the fact that you have no idea, and yet you're willing to give a definitive answer. I like that. I like that about you.
I appreciate that.
Because I'm going to look it up, and you may be right. You may just be right, and then you will look like a genius, but there's a good chance you may be wrong.
That's all right. It's shot in the dark. Nothing wrong with that.
No, that's what sports radio is all about. Ready, fire, aim. That's how we work in sports radio. Why do we say under the weather? Here we go. You're close. You missed it by just a tad. It comes from a nautical term from the days of old sailing ships. That's almost what you said, other than you didn't mention sailing or ships or old nautical term. But other than that, you nailed it. Because any sailor who was feeling ill would be sent below deck to protect him from the weather. Hence, he was below deck or under the weather. That's what we do here on The V Show. We amuse, we entertain, we inform. And we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to The V Show Podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Let me ask you some questions, as they say back in the hood. If Kentucky, at Kentucky, one more free throw had gone in, Louisville won the game, nothing else changed. Not one other part of the game changed. And they played the exact same game against Florida State. Are you as pissed off? If you're one of the minority of fans, and it is a minority of fans, they're pissed off. Are you still pissed off? Are you still that pissed off? Honestly. Okay? I mean, I'm just asking. Because I, with 1,000% of my soul, think there's it's not even close. They'd say, oh, man, we didn't play well against Florida State. But Kentucky lost to Kentucky after football got lit up like a Christmas tree. To lose in basketball when we were in the top five, that is sticking in people's craw. So I'm saying to you, so again, let me ask you. I'm not chewing on the radio, dude. I'm not even eating anything. So calm down. If you're going to scream at me and send me a thing in caps, then at least get it right. I have a glass of water here, which I need, and I'm going to have another sip. In fact, I'm going to have that one on the air now in honor of you, 2288. This is for you. Here's to you, 2288. Oh, that's good. It's Tyler Mountain Water. You know how they make it? H2 and O.
Fascinating stuff.
One of O.
God.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Okay. So now, let me say this. So they make one more free throw. One. Okay? And they win the game in regulation by 1 point. Nothing else changes. Whatever happened at Kentucky, Jordan still was invisible. They come back against Florida State. Florida State plays the exact same game and they lose. Be honest with yourself. Have the balls to stand in front of the mirror and tell me the truth. There's no way that you're as upset. Okay? So if that's true, you're not going to like where I'm going because now I got you in a corner. Because I know it's true. That means you're pissed off. You're this pissed off. You've lost your mind. You're in bars. Guy texts me, you don't understand. People are mad. They're in bars. They're furious. There's outrage. You're that pissed off about one free throw. That's what it says in your life right now. One free throw has got you that mad. That's what you're saying. Can't have it both ways. And you know it's true. It's all because of UK. That son of a beat us again. This guy texted me, how come Cal has won so many games against Louisville? Because most years he's had the better team. Sorry. You know why? Because most years he's had a better team than 98% of the country. You don't have to like it, but that's the reality. He's in the Hall of Fame too. You know, they've had good teams. It's unbelievable. It's just that's the reality of it. So you want to be upset they lost, disappointed, that's fine. But this conversation, oh Lord. Guy says it's not just the UK game, it's the accumulation of lackluster coaching. I'm missing the boat. I'm not missing the boat. I'm begging you to tell me where the lackluster coaching is. How many practices have you gone to? Well, none. Okay. How many times have you sat and asked the coaches what the game plan is? Well, none. Okay. So what are you basing it on? I've been to practice. I've watched them teach. I've heard the game plans. I've watched guys get better. I've watched him develop players. What is it that you don't like his, oh, I get it, this is it. No, when you explain it this way, it makes perfect sense. He has a lost look on the face on his sidelines. That's it. We're gonna gauge the guy now by his facial expression. Do we have any plastic surgeons on sponsorship here? Maybe we get Chris a plastic surgeon deal where they can give him a more concentrating face of some sort. I mean, do you realize how? So let me get this straight. So you're either pissed off over a free throw or because a guy has a bad a bad face. I can't even say the sentence with a straight face. All right, here we go. Okay, this guy's going to try and help me here. Just to name a few. Keeping guys like Ryan McMahon in when he isn't shooting well. Ding. Ever coach? Probably not. If you take a shooter and he misses a few shots, and you yank his ass out, guess what he never does after that? Never shoots it again. And guess what this team desperately needs? Somebody else to shoot the ball. So, can't agree with you on that one, because it makes sense. You don't have to like it, but that makes sense. Let's see what else. Not putting players on the bench when they're not performing well, i.e. war in the UK game. I have to disagree with you. Go back and look at the tape. When they came back, when did they make that comeback? When he was on the bench. 0 for 2. Poor free throw shooting. Absolutely, that's his fault. You know what somebody should do? Somebody should tell Chris to have them practice free throws. Oh, that's right. They shoot over 100 a day. Damn it. 0 for 3. Let's see what else we got. Odd substitution patterns. Let me get your number and send it to the guy who's mad that he stayed with the same lineup for so long. Now you're mad about odd substitution patterns. He's changing it because you asked him, not because of that, but by your own reflection, you wanted him to change so different combinations. That's what he's been doing. Okay? Not adjusting to other coaches' game plan. Needs specifics. Doesn't make any sense. Letting leads slip away like in the Duke game. Yeah, he did that. What do you mean let leads slip away? What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? You know how many games? Coaches for years have talked about this. If I could find a way, so if I got a 15-point lead, everybody on the bench, drink from this magic bottle. We can't lose a lead if we drink this magic elixir. Did you watch the NBA game last night? My beloved and tragic New York Knicks. Did you see that? They scored 45 points in the first quarter and led by 20. And by halftime, they were losing.
I was about to say to you, I don't watch things that make me sad, but then I just thought about the Eagles, and then I got sad.
They were losing by halftime. Teams lose leads. Still nothing. The look of bewilderment on your face during timeouts, on my face or his face? I don't know. Again, bad face. As much as I can get from this is one free throw and a bad face. That's his biggest egregious sin. And I understand. Listen, I would fire a guy for a bad face and one free throw also. There's no question about that. I would just, in fact, I'd go to the press conference. I'd love to see that one. Click, 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 click. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're here today. Click, 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 click. I have an announcement to make. We're letting Coach Jablonski go. Click, 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 because he's got a crappy face. Can I take some questions from you guys? Yeah, when did you notice he had a bad face? The texters pointed it out to me. During timeouts, he's got a bad face. Click, 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 click. Yeah, what else? Well, the free throw shooting. Yes, they missed some free throws. Click, 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 click. It's unbelievable. I love how – here's the other thing, and I'll say this. I've said this earlier in the show. I don't see – I have any problem. He's coaching a team one way. It's a good way. It's not the only way. Having said that, I also look at the whole big picture. The big picture is – the guy is, because I'm responding because the text says, I love how transparent Mac is postgame. He absolutely is. He is, it's taken me an adjustment to do our postgame interviews. I love Rick, you know that, but I learned very early on, it was almost irrelevant what I asked him because he was going to answer whatever he wanted to answer. He had the postgame, there was an agenda to try and get a point across. And I also understand he's wound up, he's wired. Half the time he could hardly listen to what I was saying. He told me that himself. So I get it, but I could have said blah, 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 pizza. And he said, let me tell you, rebounding was the key. And then he'd give a really impassioned and detailed discussion about rebounding, and you'd walk away and say, wow, that was really good. I had a lot of people say, well, I really enjoyed your interviews with Rick. And I would say, well, I appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, half the time he wouldn't answer my questions. Chris always answers the question. Always answers the question. He has also always gone out of his way to reach out to the old players and coaches here, more so than Rick did. And I like Rick. I like Rick a lot, and you know, he treated me very well, but I'm just telling you. So I look at the picture. The guy has been pretty tireless in the community. He's approachable. He's a very decent human being. He's really done right by the old players. I go to practice, and every time I go, I walk out and say, this guy's a good teacher. I understand what he's doing. I understand why he's doing it. I understand how he's trying to teach it. And the people who know the game say, this guy's doing a terrific job. So that's enough for me. So, you know, I don't know what I can tell you. So if you're mad, if you're that mad about a free throw and a guy's face, go ahead. All right. Dana, I appreciate your text a lot, but I didn't say that. But what I said was, I hate the phrase, since you're not a parent, you don't know how to parent. No, I know. I understand what you're saying, but I will tell you that it's very difficult sometimes to relate to some of those decisions unless you've been put in that position. I can say, I don't understand why Apple came out with this or that. I'm allowed to say it. You're allowed to say it. But what I'm saying is, unless I sat in the boardroom and figured out what the hell they were trying to do and why they were trying to do it, I don't have as much credibility. If you've not coached a shooter, I'm just telling you, Dana, you can get as mad as you want to. You don't understand. There is a mindset for shooters, and I'm convinced that Chris is trying to figure that out right now because he can't just keep playing Ryan playing so poorly, but they need his shooting, and he is absolutely lost right now. But by percentage, by over the course of 1,000 shots to get my roulette wheel, he's got more red numbers on it than anybody else from the perimeter. So he's trying to figure that out. And so if you think, just yank his ass out of there. Okay. Doesn't always work. Doesn't always work. And that's all I'm suggesting to you. It's always simpler from the other way around. Let's see. Texter here. I'm trying to answer as many as I can. I love Mac, but I miss Rick. It's an odd combination of emotions. Yeah, I like. I mean, that's the same thing. That's why I said it's not like one or the other. If I say to you, do you like steak or do you like pork chops? It doesn't mean you got to hate one or the other. I like both.
I do too.
Especially the pork chops at Eddie Merlot's. You ever have those?
No, they're good.
Oh my God! I think I'm gonna go right now. Take over.
I got you. We'll do it.
The texter probably. That texter has probably been fired because of his face. Maybe he's sensitive to that. Yikes. Oh, my. So you're saying the team is getting better. Wow, that's what I said. I came out and said the team's. I love when people will make you say something you didn't say, and then, isn't that called the straw man argument? Right? I build you up to saying something you didn't say and then tear you down for it. No. Didn't say that. Lost their three hardest games, one good win, looking worse every week. What's happening? I hate to let you in on a little secret, is the teams they're playing are better. I don't know, maybe you don't think so, but Kentucky and Florida State are a lot better than Miami of Ohio. I know you, that may be a shock to you. So they are going, even if they won the game, they're going to struggle more against those teams. Okay? So I don't know. It's just go to cards, way to lose. Happy now? No, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. What my issue is with the reaction to the post game and Tim Sullivan's tweet, which evidently rallied the fringe, and they are fringe. Sorry, somehow that the honeymoon's over and they made a mistake or something. I mean, I can't even get that sentence out of my mouth because it just sounds so stupid. I'm sorry, it does. It's just the stupidest take ever. If you feel that way, it's a stupid take because. As I told you, I don't care about national analysts. The only way that is worthy of reporting is if you said, my God, I had, like, sometimes I've been in a situation where I was like, wow, I didn't really know that many people felt that way about it. Like, I was watching the game, and then I hear this analyst say this, and that analyst who know the game, who've coached 1,000 games or in the Hall of Fame, and I said, I never really saw it that way. Okay. None of them. They're all saying what a great job he's been doing. All of them. And then the fan base, yes. The problem is you lost to Kentucky, so you don't have a hard time finding a guy to your left or your right who's mad. But you then interpret that as, see, he agrees with me. This was a screwed up hire. No, honeymoon's not. No, the place was in shambles. Like, this guy we're having a debate with, which we're getting nowhere on, it was in shambles. They had missed the NCAA tournament and lost their three most meaningful players. Really couldn't recruit very well. Because he came in here so late and had suspension hanging over their heads, NCAA sanctions hanging over their heads. By most people's objective standards, that's shambolicious. And then they come in and they make the tournament. Guys say, well, they staggered to a 7 seed. You know why they staggered at the end of last season? Because the ACC's a good league. And they had a hard time sustaining the level they were playing early because, to be honest with you, they just weren't that deep and that good. He maximum squeezed what he could. They went from not getting a bid to a 7 seed. You're going to interpret that as staggering? Okay, your business. But again, it's part of that thought. No, you don't understand. You're not from here. We are Louisville. Okay, great. What I am is logical and rational. And state your business. Oh, giving me copy. All right. Hey. Oh, that's the old one? All right.
Updated
copy. Thank you. All right. Now get out.
Well, Robert, we're going to go do that.
Yeah, well, look at him. He's doing impressions now. Produce doing impressions. Very nice. Very impressed. Very, very appreciate. It is not an either or. That's the whole point. You can be sad they lost and disappointed, but it to me. There's no meat on the bone. And I offer as evidence, you can hate the media all you want, but the one thing they are herdy. And they go in herds. And Sullivan brought up with the presser, oh, the reaction of the fans. Nobody else even had a shred of that question, because the perception is it's just not there. Are you going to find pissed off people? Sure. Are some of you texting me? Absolutely. But there's it's just I was really surprised he did that. That seemed beneath him as a reporter. A reporter doesn't take one angry text from a guy after the game and make it sound like there's a big groundswell of support. Unless you go, then offer me support. That guy asked him, tell me why you don't think he's coaching well. Fine. And tell me what happened. You know, give me some numbers. Give me some data. Give me some information. Give me something that leads me to think that you got some information about it. I don't see it. So I did that. Why did I give you my point of view about that? I don't think that's out there. I told you, because the analysts, most of the fans, most of the texts I'm getting, I don't see it. So that's my information. And then why do I think he knows what he's doing? Because I watched him do what he's doing. I went to practice. I watched him teach. I watched him. I walked out of there back when they were winning and everybody was all hunky-dory. I even said, I'll tell you one thing, I don't know what else about the guy, but he can teach. Because I never played pack line and I never coached it, and I'm learning it on the fly. And I walked out of there and I was like, okay, that makes sense. Now I understand. And I watched the more. It doesn't matter whether I get it. The question is, do they get it? And I watched his players, and I was like, yep, they're dialed in, they're invested. You heard what he said, and good for him. You know what? His main responsibility is not to me in the media or to you as a fan, even though it is an obligation to the fans. It's to the 15 guys under his watch, and he has to be truthful to what he sees. And what he said today is, and I haven't seen evidence otherwise, when they go to practice, they're still invested. They still work hard. I had a guy said, doesn't look like they're having fun. Well, no, they're not having fun losing, but I don't see any chemistry issues. I go to practice, they seem to be fine. They like each other. They support each other. They're fine. So I'm just telling you. So what he did is he went out of his way to say that. I can't get mad because their preparation is very good. We just have to we have to execute better. We got to address some problems, some situations. He called some guys out on it. 50th seniors, I need you guys to figure some of this out on your own. Good for him. So that's what coaching is, taking the landscape that you've got and figuring out how to go forward. And what he's saying is, I don't have a lot of freshmen that are in leadership roles on this team. I got upperclassmen. You guys got to take some ownership of this. So I give him credit. He was truthful. He was true to his guys at that presser. Good for him. I hate coaches who are, we win but you lose. It's one good way to lose your team. Hey, anybody remember the football team before Satterfield got here? I offer as Exhibit A. Stick around, ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.